Играется.
Today's Amud is Yuma Mem Gimel Med Aleph. We're holding on the top line on Mem Gimel Med Aleph. So the Gemara is in the middle of discussing going through the psukim in the parasha of Parah in the Torah, because we had on Mem Beis Mem Beis Ula said that Kol HaParasha Kula, that the whole parasha of Parah Adumo, that's Mashma Meitzim Yan Mashma Mashma Memela, that there's different psukim when you go through the parasha, that some psukim are Mashma that were changing the Mashmais of the previous pasuk. Let's say the previous pasuk was Mashma that a kayin is you need Dafka a kayin, and then the next pasuk is Mashma that anyone's kosher to do that part of the process of the Parah Adumo, and then certain psukim are Mashma Memela that they're Mashma that were continuing with the Mashmais of the previous pasuk. So the Gemara is in the middle of going through the different psukim in the parasha of Parah Adumo. So says the Gemara on the top of Mem Gimel Med Aleph, V'shachat Aisa, the pasuk says that he shechts it, so we dash it from there, V'shachat Aisa it, Shlo yishchid acheres ima. That the Tosfos Rishonim explains that even you can't take a long knife and shecht two Parah Adumas at the same time. That it says, V'shachat Aisa, you have to shecht dafka one. You can't shecht two simultaneously with a long knife. Lefanav, it says that he shechts it in front of him. So this we already darshan on Beza Med Aleph. LeRav ishleyas yechdaita mimeno. According to Rav, that a czar is possible to do the shechita of the Parah Adumo. So he learned from Lefanav that there's an iser to be mesiach das. LeShmuel shehei czar sheichev elazer raya. And Shmuel learned from Lefanav, this is the makar for according to Shmuel that a czar is kosher for the shechitas Parah Adumo. And we said on Beza Med Aleph where Shmuel knows hasachadas from. We said what Rava does with that pasuk. That was the whole shtickle tire that we had on Mem Beis Amud Aleph. Says the Gemara Beiter. The pasuk says, "V'lakach Elazar Akayin midama betzboi." It says that Elazar Akayin he takes from the blood of the Parah Adumo with his finger, and he does hazah towards the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So this is Kabbalah and hazah. So l'Shmuel lahadurei la'Elazar. According to Shmuel, who held that until now we were talking even about a czar, Shmuel said that Lefanov teaches us that even a czar could do the shechita. So now this pasuk by the Kabbalah and the hazah, where the pasuk says the lakach Elazar hakayin, it says dafka Elazar hakayin. So Shmuel will tell you this is now coming to bring it back to Elazar hakayin. That even though the shechita was kasher bizarre, the Kabbalah and the Hazah has to be dafka done through a kayin. That's what Shmuel uses this pasuk for. And LeRav, having miyad achar miyad, according to Rav, we already know we're talking about Elazar HaKayin. That was from the Shechita we were talking about Elazar HaKayin. So why does the Torah again tell us Elazar HaKayin? It's a miyad achar miyad. And the rule is, one of the midas shatayr nidreshes behen, it's not part of the 13 of Rabbi Shmuel that we say in the morning, but there's a longer list of midas shatayr nidreshes behen, and one of them is miyad achar miyad. That vein miyad achar miyad elu l'rabbis. That when you have two mutim in the Torah, so the lacha is that it's coming to be marba something. So from here, v'lakach Elazar HaKayin, and then it said, by shechita it said Elazar HaKayin. And now again, by the Kabbalah and the Hazah, it says Elazar HaKayin. It's coming to be marba dafilu kayin hedyet. That not just Elazar HaKayin, but even a kayin hedyet is allowed to perform the Kabbalah and the Hazah. You don't dafka need Elazar who is the skan, even a kayin hedyet is going to be kosher. So it comes out both according to Rav and according to Shmuel, this pasuk of v'lakach Elazar HaKayin midama betzba is mashma meitzim yad mashma. According to Shmuel, until now we were talking about a czar, and now this pasuk is telling us that now we're talking about dafka kayin, dafka lazar kayin, the skan. And according to Rav, until now we were talking about the lazar kayin, dafka the skan, and now we're talking about any kayin head yet. So according to both of them, we're now changing mashmais in this pasuk. Says the Gemara Vayter, the parasha continues, v'lakach ha-kayin, eitz erez ve'ezoiv v'shni telas. It says when they throw in the eitz erez, ezoiv, and the red string, it says v'lakach ha-kayin. So why does the Torah say v'lakach ha-kayin? We were already talking about ha-kayin. So l'shmuel, according to Shmuel, then until now we were talking dafka about Elazar, so ha-kayin is coming to teach us dafilu b'kayin hedyet. And even if it's a kayin hedyet, even a kayin hedyet is kosher to throw in the eitz erez, ezoiv, v'shni telas into the fire. Well, Rav, according to Rav, the reason why the Torah says HaKayin, until now we were also talking about the Kayin head yet. So why does the Torah say HaKayin? It's Rav says, Rav, you need it. Kesal kedai techamina, I might have thought to say, Kevin delav gufe de paraninu, loyli bayi Kayin. I might think to say that since this is like a very external part of the process, it's not mamish part of the para aduma, it's nothing's being done with the para, with the ashes or water or anything like that. It's something like very external to the process, and therefore I might think that you don't need a Kayin. Kamash malan, that you even for this, even for this part of the process, you need a kain. So it comes out, according to Shmuel, this part of the parasha, this pasuk, is mashma mitzi miyad mashma, because until now we were talking about Elazar HaKayin, about the skan, and now V'lakach HaKayin is coming to change and tell us that no, even a kain had yet. And according to Rav, it's mashma memela, that because we were talking about a kain had yet until now, and we're still talking about a kain had yet. V'lakach HaKayin is continuing the previous mashmais that we're talking about a kain had yet. Just the reason why the Torah had to say it is because you might have thought that over here you don't need a kain because it's not part of the Gufa de Para. Continuing in the Gemara says, V'chibes begadav ha-kayin. Again, the Torah says ha-kayin. According to everybody, we were already talking about the kayin hedyet. Both according to Shmuel and according to Rav, we're now talking about the kayin hedyet. So why does the Torah say, V'chibes begadav ha-kayin, that the kayin has to wash his clothing? To teach us bikihunai, that when you're performing this, the process of paraduma, even though, like we said, Mabezim and Aleph, that paraduma is not considered a vaida, it's still, there's a halacha that it needs kahuna, we said then. So now the Gemara is telling us that from V'chibes begad of HaKayin, we learn out that it needs to be bikihunai. That not only do you need to have a kayin doing the parts of the process of para aduma, but it needs to be bikihunai, means he needs to be wearing the big day kahuna. The Gemara says that tamei hakayin ad arev. The pasuk says that the tamei hakayin, again, it stresses the kayin. We already know we're talking about the kayin. So why does it say hakayin? So says the Gemara, kayin bikihuna iludairis. It's coming to teach us that not only by the para of Moshe Rabbeinu does the kayin have to wear big day kahuna, but also for all future paradumas, the kayin has to wear big day kahuna. Says the Gemara, that which we need, a drasha to teach us that for all future paradumas, that he has to wear big day kahuna. Hani chalaman da amar l'dayris b'kain hedyet. That's all understandable if you hold like the man da amar who says that the future paradumas can be done with the kain hedyet. We mentioned on the previous amud a machlekes about who has to do the paraduma in the future. The paraduma, Yisha, it says, was Elazar HaKayin, who was the skan. And we darshan from we had a drasha, we had a miyat, that it was only the para of Moshe Rabbeinu that there we needed the Elazar HaKayin, we needed the skan. But the para, for all future paras, so then we had a machlekes. It's not Elazar HaKayin. Who is it? Yes. So we had a machlekes if it's a kain hediyat or dafka the kain gadol. So says the Gemara, this that we have a drasha to teach us that the kain needs to wear his big de kahuna when performing the process of paraduma, that's understandable if you hold that the kayin that does the paraduma in the future is a kayin hedyet. So now we have a drasha to teach us that kayin hedyet, he has to wear his big de kahuna. So then Shapur, that's understandable. Elman the amar l'dairis b'kayin gadol, but if you hold that the paraduma in the future for all future generations after Moshe Rabbeinu, that it has to be done dafka with the kayin gadol, hash the kayin gadol b'inan. If there's a requirement for the paraduma that it needs dafka to, that it needs to be done dafka ayidei the kayin gadol, so the bikihuna mibai, do we need to have a drasha now that he needs to be wearing big day kahuna? The fact that you're telling me that there's a requirement of to have a kayin gadol, so you see from here that there's a, that we need to have a kayin gadol, so then it seems like it should be a kol shekein that he needs to be wearing big day kahuna. Why would we have a requirement? The Gemara is saying that it doesn't seem logical that there would be a requirement to have a kayin gadol and that he doesn't have to wear big day kahuna. If you're telling me that there's even a requirement for kayin gadol, so then of course that you need to have big day kahuna. So why do we need a pasuk to teach us the tamei hakayin that even the kayin bikihuna ludairis, even the kind of the future paradumas that he needs to wear big day kahuna. So says the Gemara, Ein Achanami, you could have learned it out from Svara, but in Achanami, but Mil Sadasi v'kav v'chaymer tarach v'kasav lakra. It's one of the interesting rules in Shas that we have, that something, even though it could have been learned out from a kav v'chaymer, sometimes the Torah will still tell us something, the Torah will write something in the Torah, even though it's something that we could have learned out from Svara, from a kav v'chaymer. Maybe because someone might have thought that it's not a good kav v'chaymer, so therefore the Torah wanted to ensure that we know it. But that's the rule, that's something that even if it's something that we could have learned out from a Kal V'chomer, we could have learned it out from Sfara, still sometimes the Torah will say it anyhow. Says the Gemara Vayter, Va'asaf ish tahar es efer hapara v'hinyach. The Pasuk says that an ish tahar, he gathers the ashes after they burn the paraduma. So an ish tahar, he gathers the ashes of the paraduma, v'hinyach, and he puts it, v'hinyach mechutz l'machne, and he puts it down, he brings it outside the machne. So the Gemara says that from this Pasuk, ish tahar, so ish, a man, so that's coming to be marbin, and not just a kayin, rather lahakshir as a zar, it's coming to tell us that even a zar is kosher to gather the ashes. A zar is kosher to do that, and the Torah, and the Pasuk says ish tahar, tahar, obviously we need him to be an ish tahar. So why does the Torah say ish tahar? Tahar is coming to be marbin, that anyone who's tahar, meaning lahakshir as a isha, that even an isha is allowed to do this part of the process. So ish is coming to be marbin, that even a zar, someone who's not a kayin, he could do this part of the process, and tar is that anyone who's tar, even an isha, she could do this part of the process. The heniach, and he puts it down outside the machne. So we learn out from there, Mishi Yesh by Das Laniach. It has to be somebody who's a bardas to go bring it there. Yatsu Chever Shaita Vikaton Shein Ban Das Laniach, which is coming to be to the exclusion of the Chever Shaita Vikaton, they're gonna be puzzle to gather the ashes of the Paraduma. So we're married a Zar and an Isha, and we're made a Chever Shaita Vikaton. Says the Gemara, Tanan Hasim, we learned in the Mishnah, Hakol Ksheirim LeKaddish. Everyone is kosher to do the part of the process of Kiddush. Rashi says Kiddush refers to putting the water into the ashes, into the kli, mixing the water together with the ashes in the kli. So everyone is kosher to do that part of the process, to pour the water in. Chutz Mecheir Shaita V'Katan. The exception is Cheir Shaita V'Katan. The Cheir Shaita V'Katan are not kosher to do the Kiddush. Rabbi Yehuda Machshir V'Katan. Rabbi Yehuda's Maida, he's masking that the Cheirish and the Shaita are not allowed to do this part of the process, but he says that the Katan is allowed to. You said the Katan is not allowed to. Rabbi Yehuda's Chaylik, and he says that the Katan is allowed to. Upaisel Beisha, and the Mashmois of the Tanakama was that only a Cheirish Shaita of a Katan are not allowed to do this part of the process, but a woman could. Rabbi Yehuda says, on that I argue with you also, a woman's not allowed to do this part of the process. Upaisel Beisha Bandragnes, and also an Andragnes, who's a person who has simanim of both, a Zachar and an Akeva, right? The Aruch says the very word andragnes comes from the words adra and ginus. Adra is Greek for zachar, and ginus is Greek for nekeva. So an andragnes is a person that's simanim of both, so it's a suffix nekeva. So he also is going to be puzzle for this part of the process. So it comes out, there's two machleksim. The Tanakhama says that a cheir shaita v'katan are all puzzle for this part of the process, for Kiddush, and an isha is kosher. And Rabbi Yehuda says that no, a katan is kosher, so they have a machlekes about katan and a machlekes about isha. That according to the Tanakhama, a katan is kosher, a katan is puzzle. According to Rabbi Yehuda, a katan is kosher. According to the Tanakhama, an isha is kosher. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, an isha is puzzle. So my time in the Rabbanan, what's the psha, what's the reason for the Rabbanan, what's the Merkar? The Chzim, because the Pasuk says, it says, V'lokhu latome me'afar Srefa Sachatas, it says that they take for the Tame from the ashes, it's afer usually means dirt, but here it's referring to the ashes of the Paraduma, of the burnt, of the Paraduma, and the Pasuk says, V'nasan Alav Mayim Chayim El Keli. So this is referring to the Kiddush, that he takes the ashes, and he puts on it Mayim Chayim El Keli. So Hanach, the Pasulucha Basifa, Pasulucha B'Kiddush. So those people, because it says, it talks about the Asifa, and then it talks about the Kiddush. So from the fact that it puts these two parts together, so we learn out from there that it's referring to the same people. The same people that were puzzle to do the Asifa, so Pasul Lucha B'Kiddush. They're also going to be puzzle for the Kiddush. V'hanach the Achshri Lucha B'Asifa, those that, the Achshri Lach B'Asifa, those that we said are kosher for the Asifa, Achshari Lach B'Kiddush, they're also going to be kosher for the Kiddush. So that's the reason for the Tanakama. So since by the Asifa, we said the Asaf Ish Tar as Ephra Paravianiach that Ish was coming to be Marbe Azar. Tar was coming to be Machshir and Isha, and Hiniach was coming to be Memaid Cheir Shaita V'Katan. So it's the same halachas when it comes to Kiddush. Also, when it comes to Kiddush, an Isha is going to be Kosher, and a Cheir Shaita V'Katan are going to be Pasal. That's the Pshat and Tanakama. Rabbi Yehuda, what does Rabbi Yehuda say back to that? Rabbi Yehuda says, "Im Kain, if it's really true that all the people that are that the halachas of Kiddush is the same as the halachas of the Asifa Sefer, so then Lema Krav V'Lakach. So the Torah should have said V'Lakach." My belakhu. Why does the Torah say belakhu? Why does it say when it comes to Kiddush, it says belashan rabbi belakhu? It sounds like it's a rebbe. We're coming to be marbe more people. That there's someone who wasn't kosher by the asifa, that belakhu, when we're dealing with the Kiddush, that belakhu, he's going to take it and he's going to do the Kiddush and he's going to be kosher. That's why it says the belashan rabbi, to be marbe someone who is pasul before. Who's that coming to be marbe? The afilu katan, the pasul chahasam, hacha kosher. That even a katan who is possible to do the asifa sefer of the paraduma, he's still going to be kosher to do the kiddush. We're coming to the lakhu, who's coming to be marbe a katan. That said, we could have been marbe a cheresh shaita or a katan. So why dafka katan? Taisa says because a katan is the, out of those three, cheresh shaita and katan, a katan is the most, is the closest to being a bardas, because a katan is someone who eventually is going to be a bardas. Right now, we just, it's a very like almost like external thing. He's just his age. He's young. He's going to get bigger, and then he's going to be a bardas. Cheresh and a shaita, they have no reason to assume al derech ateva, that api derech ateva, that they're ever going to be a bardas. So therefore, dafka, he's marbe a katan. A katan is the closest to being a bardas. So if a lachu is coming to be marbe a katan, and even though he was possible to do the asifa, he's going to be kosher to do the kiddush. Isha minale, and how does Rabbi Yehuda know that an isha is possible? Because the Torah says v'nasa and v'loy v'nasna. The Torah started b'lashon rabim and it said v'lakchu, and then it says v'nasan, which is lashon yachid. So being that the Torah said it b'lashon yachid and it switched the tense, so therefore it started b'lashon rabim and now it's saying b'lashon yachid. So yeah, that gives us now the right to darshan v'nasan v'loy v'nasna. This is what Tosfos explains the Gemara. Generally speaking, the Torah generally writes b'lashon zachar. We would never have a right to darshan v'nasan v'loy v'nasna, that the Torah said b'lashon zachar and not v'lashon nekeva v'loy v'nasna. But Tosfos explains, but being that here we switched the until now we were talking b'lashon rabim and now we're talking b'lashon yachid, so that gives us the right to darshan v'nasan v'loy v'nasna, that the Torah is dafka saying dafka zachar, dafka v'nasan v'loy v'nasna, that an isha is possible to do the kiddush. V'rabbanan, what did the Rabbanan do with this? V'lakchu v'nasan. Ikas v'rachmana v'lakach v'nasan, says the Rabbanan that no, the Torah couldn't have said v'lakach v'nasan, because if the Torah would have said v'lakach v'nasan, I mean, the reason why we had to say v'lakchu is because we couldn't say v'lakach v'nasan, because if we would have said v'lakach v'nasan, ha'v'amina ad deshakul chad v'yohiv chad, I might have thought that it has to be the same person that does the lakicha, he has to do the nesina, it has to be the same person. So therefore, kas v'rachmana, therefore the Torah says v'lakchu b'lashon rabim. V'ikas v'rachmana v'lakchu v'nasnu, and now by v'nasan, the Torah had to say v'nasan and not v'nasnu. Because if the Torah would have said v'lakchu v'nasnu, ha'v'amina ad deshakli trei v'yavi trei, I would have thought to say it has to be two people, then the same two people that do the lakicha and the nesina. Therefore, kas v'rachmana v'lakchu v'nasan. Therefore the Torah said v'lakchu in lashon rabim, and then v'nasan in lashon yachid, tafilu shakli trei v'yavi chadet. Even if two people do the lakicha, you can have one person that does the nesina. I mean, it doesn't have to be the same people. It could even be one and two, two and one, one and one. It's two different people. Nothing matters. It doesn't matter. That's why the Torah said v'lakchu and then v'nasan, but not to darshan v'lakchu to be marbe someone that wasn't kosher before, and not to darshan v'nasan v'loy v'nasna. That's what the Rabbanan will say back to Rabbi Yehuda. So it comes out, when it comes to the part of the process of Kiddush, it comes out according to the Rabbanan, it's Mashma Memela. We're sticking to the same people that were kosher and pasul by the Asifa. They're going to be kosher and pasul when it comes to the Kiddush. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, Kiddush is Mashma Maitzi Miyad Mashma. Kiddush is coming to change. And until now, Katan was pasul, now a Katan is going to be kosher. And until now, an Isha was kosher, and now an Isha is going to be pasul. Then the Gemara continues, V'lakach Ezei V'tava B'mayim Ishtar. It says that this is talking about when they actually sprinkle from the mayim onto the person who's tamei tumas meis. So we dash it from here, the Rabbanan ish v'la isha. According to the Rabbanan, that when it came to kiddush, an isha was kosher. So the Rabbanan dash it ish v'la isha. That here the Torah is saying ish to teach us an isha, not an isha. That until now an isha was kosher. But when it comes to the sprinkling, an isha is going to be pasul. And tahar is mashma that we're coming to be marbe someone, because otherwise it's pasha that he has to be tar. So what's tar coming to be marbe? Lahakshar sakatan is coming to be marbe katan, who until now was pasul, now he's going to be kosher. And Rabbi Yehuda, it's going to be the reverse, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, until now already katan, an isha was pasul, and a katan was kosher. So isha is coming to tell us v'loy katan, that even though a katan until now was kosher, when it came to the kiddush, a katan katan was kosher. Now the Torah is telling us when it comes to the hazah that the katan is pasul, and Torah is coming to be lahachsher sa'isha, that even the woman can be the one who does the hazah. So it comes out that both according to Rabbi Yehuda and according to the Rabbanan, this part of the process is mashma maitzi miyad mashma. Just they have it in different ways. Meisve frekta gemara. So it comes out that we just said that according to Rabbi Yehuda, so when it comes to the hazah, a katan is going to be pasul and an isha is going to be kasher. Frekta gemara meisve. The Mishnah in Bara says hakol ksheirin lehazais. Everybody is kasher to do the hazah chutz, with the exception of mitumtum, a person who is covered up. It's a suffik if it's an isha or an isha. Vadragnes, also a suffik isha because he has both simanim, the isha and an isha. All these people are pasul to do the hazah. V'katan, the girsa in the Mishnah in Parah is v'katan she'ein b'idas, and the katan she'ein b'idas also, he's also pasul to do the hazah. A katan she'esh b'idas is going to be kosher, but the katan she'ein b'idas, he's pasul. And then the Mishnah just has a separate clause that the isha misayaso yumaze, that anybody who's kosher, so you're allowed to have a woman, even though a woman is not allowed to be the one who does the hazah, you could have someone who's kosher doing the hazah, and an isha is misayaso, and isha could help him out umaze, and he could do the hazah, and that's okay. It's okay to have an isha help out, even though an isha can't do the hazah, an isha is allowed to help out. So what's the kasha? The kasha is that now we have a Mishnah, and the Mishnah says clearly that an isha is not allowed to do the hazah, and frak the gemara turning on to Amud Beis, v'loy palag Rabbi Yehuda, and we don't find that anyone argues in this Mishnah. We don't find that Rabbi Yehuda argues. We have a Mishnah in Parah which says lahedi that a woman is not allowed to do the hazah, and Rabbi Yehuda doesn't seem to argue. So says the gemara, Amr Abaye. Abaye says that there was no need for Rabbi Yehuda for the Mishnah to tell us that Rabbi Yehuda argues, because kevan to Amr Mar, since Ula said that the whole parsha is mashma maitzi miyad mashma u'mashma. Since we know about this concept that the parsha keeps switching who's kasher and who's pasul, it's self-explanatory that the fact that Rabbi Yehuda argues. We know once you understand the fact that the Rabbanan got to this shita that an isha is going to be pasul and the katan sheyesh b'das is going to be kasher. So you know how to darsh. We already know how to darsh in the Torah that we have to keep switching who's kasher and who's pasul. So that means we know. Once we know that according to Rabbi Yehuda, now when it comes to the asifa, so the halacha is one way, so then we know when it comes to the kiddush, the halacha is going to be the other way, because we know that that's the way the whole parsha goes, that it's mashma maitzi miyad mashma, and it's mashma memela, so therefore there was no need to stick in the fact that Rabbi Yehuda argues. Says the Gemara Vayter, we'll do a couple more lines. The pasuk says v'hiza tahor ala tame. It says that a tahor is mazeh on the tame. So why does the Torah say hatahor? So it says the Gemara tahor mechlal d'shuhu tame. Tahor is giving the mashmois that he was tame. You don't call a person tahor unless he was once tame. So that's teaching us limid al tful yoim shekasher bepara. It's teaching us about a tful yoim, that a tful yoim, that even though he was tame and he went to the mikvah, so he hasn't experienced yet harav shemesh, the lacha is that he's still kosher to perform any of the different parts of the parases of paraduma, even though he's a tful yoyim. Amr Rav Asi. Rav Asi said, "Ki havu ba Rabbi Yochanan v'Reish Lakish bePara." When Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, when they were learning the sugyas of Para, so leimaski mina ella kimei demasik ta'ala mibekrava. So they didn't come out with it any sort of pshat, like the way a fox comes out from takes out dirt from a plowed field. I mean, they didn't have much. They weren't able to come up with any sort of chiddush to make everything fit very nicely. Ella ami, they were forced to say that mashma maitzi miyad mashma. They were forced to say that in a chanami the Torah is keeping it's continuing, it keeps switching, that sometimes this person's kosher and then sometimes this person's pasul, and then by the next part of the process it's the other way around. That's what they were forced to say when they learned this parasha, which is the way Ula had said and the way we've been explaining until now.